We head to the home stretch in quarter number four on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Welcome back. Quarter number four of this edition of the Keystone Kickoff Show. This is Ask Greg. He's Greg Pickle. I'm Dustin Hawkinsmith. These are questions from you guys on the Penn State football front. Maybe some recruiting questions as well coming through for our boy Greg here. This segment brought to you by tailgatewine.com. If you're looking for a unique gift idea for that Penn State fan in your life, you got to check out tailgatewine.com and the blue and white wine gift box. They also have some wine and barbecue packages with sauces and rubs. You can check it all out at tailgatewine.com, where great wine meets great barbecue. The winning question, as always, this week will get a bottle of tailgate wine of your choosing. Greg will choose who asked the best question, and then we will be in touch with the winner to award them a bottle of wine. Pretty nice and easy. Always worth asking a question if you haven't asked a question before, but you're listening to this. The best way to do it, download the Keystone Sports app. There's a button for Ask Greg. There's also a button you can just disregard for Ask Ross, because you want Greg's insight. All right? You want Greg's insight. Trust me on this one. So download the Keystone Sports app. Fire away with your questions, and we will ask them on the air. So the first question, as timely as you can get, I guess, George from Chambersburg: should Penn State pursue a graduate transfer at quarterback?
No.
Anything else you'd like to say, Greg?
No, that'll be it. No. I understand the question. We did talk about this a little bit earlier, but you need to be really desperate to bring in a grad transfer quarterback. It's just the way it is. For Penn State to go and do that, it would say that they have no confidence in anything that Sean Clifford or Will Levis showed this spring. So, I don't think you're bringing in two receivers already that are grad transfers, and they'll help you with some veteran presence there. You don't need veteran presence in the quarterback room. I think Sean Clifford is plenty capable of playing, plenty capable of leading. So, no, I don't see any need to even consider that option. Plus, you already missed out on all the best ones anyway.
You almost said Sean Clifford is plenty capable of leaving.
I did almost say that. That's right.
And for a brief moment in time, there was just full-scale panic to anybody who's listening. All the millions listening to this right now were a little bit panicked over that. For me, what type of player are you looking to bring in to be a third string quarterback? Because that's ultimately what you're going to bring in. And if that caliber of player, is it really going to be better than, you know, your former, your walk-on Michael Schuster did not get a scholarship, right?
Not yet.
I would assume at some point in time that's happening. But, and then you got your two true freshmen who came in January. In an emergency situation, is a spring transfer from somebody who knows they're going to be a backup, are they really going to be better than any of those options on your roster?
Right.
I suspect not. At some point in time, just in the, you know, in the longer term, Penn State will get a grad transfer quarterback at some point in time. I don't know whether that's 2020 or 2021 or what have you, but everybody's going to be playing the game at some point or another. Even Penn State, who, you know, frankly, Penn State's been lucky in a lot of respects when it comes to maybe lucky is not the best word, but to, you know, for Christian Hackenberg to not miss any time really until that final bowl game when Trace McSorley came in there. Then for Trace McSorley to be a 3-year starter, 6 years where you had suboptimal depth at the quarterback position, but because your starter was so durable and so reliable, you didn't have to tap into that. You didn't have to get into this whole scramble situation because, you know, even the best programs have to do that from time to time. You think back to, what was it, a couple years ago, Ohio State with Cardale Jones and Braxton Miller.
Yep.
That situation, you know, everybody's got to do it from at some point or another. Penn State has been shielded by that to this point. And who knows? I mean, Sean Clifford, if he's your guy in 2019 and he stays healthy, you could be shielded from that for a while again.
Yep.
So, I don't know. It's a long answer to a pretty short question, but the short answer Greg gave right away, which was, again,
no.
Okay. Steven from Columbus wants to make a wine bet. I assume just with you, Greg. Penn State will have a better record than Michigan this year, yes or no? If you win, I'll buy you around next time you are in Columbus. So you can look forward to that if you win.
So that would be
a better record than Michigan.
So Penn State plays in Columbus this year. which means we won't know that answer this year. So I'm going to have to wait 2 years to potentially get around.
Don't play Michigan by then, though. Oh, well, I guess the head-to-head might not.
Right. We may still be up in the air at that point in time. So obviously,
3 years, bro. If you win this bet,
I'll take it to the bank. I'll keep it in mind. So, you know, Notre Dame is the tough non-conference game on Michigan's schedule. That obviously tops any non-conference game on Penn State's schedule. The crossover games that Michigan has are Illinois, Wisconsin, Iowa are the three crossover games for them. So I would say, Penn State plays, a couple of those. So I will say, how about they push and they're both 9-3 going in the bowl season? How about that?
Okay, that works. Michigan play, and I was looking at this earlier, looking at the context of the whiteout game, in State College on October 19th. And I'm always looking to see what might the narrative be, you know, because the narrative isn't the same as the actual strengths and how good both of these teams are. But, you know, there's a decent chance that Penn State goes into that game 6-0.
Right.
And creates a situation where maybe there's some unfair expectations. But at the same time, you know, it's not like Michigan is some invincible team.
Right.
You know, they've got questions of their own. They're good. And Josh Gattis might be the guy who maybe pushes them over the top.
Which, right.
You know, that's an enviable position if it works out for him. But they're not unbeatable. So there's a chance here, you know, for Penn State to win that whiteout game. Obviously, we all know that anything can happen in that setting, and that's a great advantage, a great equalizer in some respects.
Well, apparently in that series, the only thing that matters is who's home and who's away.
Right.
Because that's a series. I mean, the last few years, that's all it's been. That's been a pretty big difference. So, you know, the Josh Gattis storyline will be hyped up by then. I was reading a little bit about him over the weekend, and I still get the impression that for everyone who thinks that Gattis is going to fundamentally change the Michigan offense, I don't know. I think it'll be a little bit different for sure. You'll see some more spread, but I don't know if Jim Harbaugh is willing to completely hand over control of that just yet.
That seems to be something that, you're a head coach. Your belief in what makes an offense go isn't going to change. You know, you can change it a little bit, but not a great deal. My question is, and I know we're getting a little off topic, but
kind of
what
we do.
What if Sean Clifford is really, really good? Right? Like, what if Sean Clifford is one of the three or four best quarterbacks in the Big Ten? It's not out of the realm of possibility.
No.
Obviously, there's a long way to go between now and then. There's a lot that we need to learn about him. But I think that it could be a possibility. I also think that, you know, because of his competitiveness and because of his demeanor and how cool and calm he seems to be, he's not going to be susceptible to a lot of the traps of being a first-time quarterback, right? Like, I think he's going to be able to play the long game. I think he's going to be able to forget about mistakes and that kind of stuff. But what if Sean Clifford is – and I'll use the example from, you know, a couple years ago. Who's the Michigan State's quarterback again? What's the –
Brian Lewerke.
Lewerke, yeah. 2 years ago, he was a guy who surged.
Yeah.
Got on NFL draft boards, right?
He was going to win the Heisman at one point, I think.
Everything came crashing back down to reality. But there's an example for you of a guy who seemingly comes out of nowhere and plays well and can be a difference maker. Sean Clifford, you know, has that opportunity ahead of him.
Right. Yeah, there's no doubt. I mean, I think what we saw from Lewerke was just mostly injury-based and everything else. But guess what? They still find a way to beat Penn State. So, to me, with Clifford, the best-case scenario for him will be a season in which, he obviously throws more touchdowns than interceptions. But more importantly, he lives up to the mobile ability that's needed in Ricky Ronnie's offense.
This is the Keystone Kickoff Show. This is Ask Greg, brought to you by tailgatewine.com. We mentioned this in talking about Steven's question. This is Steve from Chicago, different Steve. How much success do you think Gattis will have at Michigan? Were you surprised that Michigan hired him as the offensive coordinator? Keep up the great show.
Give me that again.
Keep up the great show.
Thank you.
Jim was with me on that one. How much success do you think Gattis will have in Michigan? Were you surprised that Michigan hired him as the OC?
No, I wasn't. I mean, was I a little – so when you go to Alabama, you know, you're pretty much hoping that you can trampoline up the coaching ladder pretty quickly. I mean, Josh Gattis is obviously left Penn State because he didn't get the offensive coordinator job that Ricky Ronnie got, and he went to Alabama to work for Saban for a year, and now he's moving again. So, you know, I'm not shocked. If you look at Nick Saban's turnover year over year, he loses a ton of assistant coaches. So this is not a shock to me. I mean, Michigan, you know, I think Jim Harbaugh knew to his credit that he had to reinvent himself because the way they were playing offense out there was not ever going to lead them to a Big Ten title in the college football playoff. So I think that he can transform that offense. It really comes down to how much control Jim Harbaugh gives him. If the answer is not a lot, then I don't know how much of a difference it's going to make. If he gives him a closer leash, the length of leash to what Joe Moore had at Penn State, where he had pretty much control over things, then yeah, that offense could transform tremendously.
I don't think it's unreasonable to say a couple years ago when Ricky Ronnie got the job that Josh Gattis might have been ready for that duty then, and then to go and you know, study under Nick Saban for a year, probably put him in position. It's a big jump to go, you know, you were never a primary play caller.
Right.
So it's a big jump to do that for a Big Ten program with national championship aspirations. So in that respect, it was a surprise, but not a big time stunner, I would say. One more thing, Tom from Tuckanic. Everyone's saying Justin Shorter is the number three wide receiver, and it's true he started for the blue team, but I truly believe he's not the answer this year, way before the zero blue-white catches. Now with two grad transfers, less than glowing, frankly, comments when asked. If not Shorter, who? That's the existential question. That's
well,
the question.
I mean, I think it's hard to predict when the two graduate transfers aren't even on campus yet. I mean, just for the sake of continuity, if it's not Shorter, then it will probably be Daniel George. But it won't shock me in the least if George Campbell or Weston Carr come in. The only thing Carr is going against him is that Hamler and Dodson are kind of similar to him, right? So
he's bigger.
He's definitely bigger, but he's not as big as Campbell or George or Shorter. So I think it really depends how Ricky Ronnie wants to roll things out there. Penn State has the speed to stretch the field with this group. They have some big guys you can go against the bigger corners in the Big Ten. So they have options, but you're right. I mean, the third receiver spot is really up in the air. I think most assume that Justin Shorter will win the job. I don't know if that's based on anything more than potential, though.
It's been my position, and I'll say it again. I think the second half of the season is when that starts to unfold. You have some options coming in. I'm going to pick Weston Carr. I think a guy who's been that productive, who will be a fifth-year senior. I would love to say George Campbell, and I think his athletic profile is pretty stunning going back to high school. But what has he done to suggest that he's going to be a Big Ten starter after arriving as late as he does? Weston Carr, with that type of polish, he's going to be a factor, I think. But all these guys could be – I don't know who's assuming Shorter is the wide receiver three. Quick, who are the best?
The guy from Columbus who asked about the record for Michigan or Penn State.
All right, Stephen from Columbus. There you go. Congratulations. You won a bottle of tailgate wine. Everybody else, thanks for getting your questions in. Be sure to join us next time at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com.
It's time to get undomesticated. It's time for Labatt Blue. Time to get off the couch and on the beach, on the trails, on the lake, onto what you love doing best. Get in touch with your adventurous side. Get out the ATV, the tent, the sunscreen. Get out the cooler and fill it high with Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light, because nothing goes better with the great outdoors. It's time to get up, get out, get undomesticated. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.
Hey, Penn State fans, here is your chance to take something off your bucket list. That's right, Go PSU RV is offering a full range of RV setups ready for a weekend of great tailgating at their Lions Den, which is the closest single-game RV overnight lot to Beaver Stadium. You can arrive anytime Friday afternoon. Stay until Sunday morning, avoiding all that traffic. Don't miss this unique opportunity. Go online to gopsurv.com and reserve your RV today. 409 Tailgate Club proudly introduces our tailgate wines. Like our great sauces and rubs, you'll enjoy our wines at your next cookout, tailgate, or even as a great gift for that fan of the blue and white. Speaking of blue and white, you've got to try our award-winning Sapphire Blue, made from pure blueberry juice. Or how about our Old Main Pinot Grigio and 1855 Vidal? Go to tailgatewine.com and find all our PA-preferred wines. That's tailgatewine.com.